T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time now for Behind Enemy Lines, brought to you by Acadian Windows, the official window company of the Houdat Nation, helping us to do so on the Ole Miss Rebels. Parrish Alford, Ole Miss beat reporter for the Daily Journal. Parrish, how are you?
Man, I'm fine, but I'm from Denham Springs. Is that really enemy?
No, but we just call the segment based on the opponent. It is the enemy of the LSU Tigers, for sure.
I got you.
And now, Parrish, you never want to not show up for a game, but LSU being a 3-touchdown favorite, I mean, people said, oh, watch out for Ole Miss. There could be an upset. I don't see how that can happen. What would it take for Ole Miss? It's a big rivalry-type game, but what would it take to upset LSU?
Look, to upset LSU, I think they really have to get pressure on Joe Burrow, get him off his spot, make him uncomfortable. I mean, things that other teams have tried to do, and when they do that, they need to be aware that he can pull it down and run and get a first down. I mean, you know, he's not a stiff back there, but that's what they have to do, because secondary play has not been a strength for Ole Miss. And, look, it's just not a good matchup with Joe Burrow coming in completing almost 80% and, you know, the Rebels hit and miss back there in terms of coverage. So if they're going to slow down the offense, give themselves a chance to stay in the game, they're going to have to make Burrow uncomfortable.
Now, Parrish, you're looking at John Rhys Plumlee. I think, if I can recall, I remember, did he come in the Cal game at the end and all of a sudden, like, whoa, who's this guy making plays with his feet and being a freshman? What is your take on him and also the fan base? Is he the future or what?
Well, they're trying to make John Rhys the future, I believe. For him to be the future, he's going to have to develop as a passer. He did come in the last 5 minutes against Cal. His first college play was like a 47-yard run.
Right.
And he was seven for seven on the next drive. But, you know, Cal kind of keeping the ball in front of him there. The rest of his time, you know, he really hasn't completed passes at a high enough clip. They've not been productive. They haven't thrown a touchdown pass in the last 3 games. You know, so he has some work to do there, but there is no denying the threat that he is in the run game. He's quick. He's evasive. You know, he didn't play, like I said, there against Cal. That was week 4. Yet here he is with 2 games to go with an outside shot at 1,000 yards at 777 right now. So he's a playmaker.
Now, Parrish, looking at their offense, averaging a little over 26 points a game. But what occurred when they played the Aggies and the Tigers? I was looking where they only scored 17 points against Texas A&M and 14 against Auburn. Obviously, that would not be enough against LSU. But what was happening in those games that they weren't able to score more, considering that they've had other success scoring in other games?
Well, Auburn, obviously, is one of the better defenses in the country.
Right.
It took Ole Miss a while to really get in a rhythm. You know, they had a lot of short drives and punts and things like that. It wasn't a good offensive game for them. They were better against Texas A&M, but they had a turnover. They had sort of missed opportunities. They left some points on the table against Texas A&M. They really feel like that was a win that got away, that they could have played better, could have played cleaner in that game and come out on the better end of the scoreboard. They just, made some mistakes there.
Parrish, when I'm looking at some of the games that Ole Miss has played this year, putting up points hasn't really been that big of a problem. I mean, you guys hung 31 on Alabama. They also scored 31 on Vanderbilt. We know LSU and Vanderbilt got into a little bit of a shootout. So where do the points come from? Is it the running game or the passing game?
It's the running game. Look, Rich Rodriguez came in, and that's what he does. That's his MO. It's what he's done at other places, and I think he deserves credit for really taking some inherited players and putting in his new system, and then some freshmen, some key guys like Plumlee, Jerrion Ealy, and Gerard Connor. And they've all kind of fit together to become a pretty good running team. Right? They lead the SEC this week. They're at 247 a game on the season. They have run the ball on some pretty good defenses. Ran later in the game against Auburn. I want to say they finished with around 167 or 170 in the run game there. But, they've put up over 200 on some good teams. It'll be interesting to see if they can do that against LSU. I know they were talking this week, Rich Rodriguez was, about the size of LSU along the front line and how people just have struggled to move them, to get them off their spot, to give up ground, to get them to do that. And that's a concern for Ole Miss this week.
Now, Parrish, while you look at the SEC and the talent that they put in the NFL, who could you say on the offensive side of the ball and also on the defensive side that we'll see playing on Sunday? Who can you tell and enlighten the fans to look at?
Well, not a lot who will be playing there next year, but I think down the road you could see Jerrion Ealy. You could see Gerard Connor, those running backs. I think they could get there. From a wide receiver standpoint, just – still some development that needs to take place. I mean, they had some highly rated recruits that have come in, but they were recruited under a different system, and they're not throwing the ball well right now. They're not throwing it, with an accomplished passer. So it's going to be interesting. At that position, they've got to develop more, but the running backs for sure. Defensively, look, Benito Jones and Josiah Cogney along the defensive line, the interior, they've played well this year. It wouldn't be surprising if they got a chance somewhere. Sam Williams, an outside linebacker, first year, junior college transfer. He's a guy with some ability that could get there as well.
Parrish, this might sound like a silly question, but the success that Coach O is having at LSU, are there, I guess Ole Miss, not necessarily fans, but maybe supporters or relationships that he made in Ole Miss and Oxford that are kind of pulling for his success, though?
It wasn't a good time for Ole Miss when Ed was here, and so it's kind of mixed there. He's been very public about the fact that he had to learn to let his coaches coach and that sort of thing. And I think there are relationships that are stronger now, but they've had to mend. Shea Hodge, a wide receiver on Ed's teams here, kind of talked about that this week and talked about the closeness that he feels with Coach Ogeron right now. But that's come over time. And Shea is a guy that visits with him pretty regularly. I'm just not sure where he stands as far as relationships in the community and things like that. I know he
– Yeah. In Parrish, I just look at it that as like oil and water. I mean, it's just like – I mean, you don't think of Mississippi and the bayous up in Oxford. I mean, he's just a fit for LSU in Louisiana. We all know he can recruit. I remember just the relationship he had with Patrick Willis and all that. But yeah. I just think the personality of a school, Ole Miss, kind of a blue blood kind of reputation – versus LSU, maybe not that type of school. And that's why, I mean, as a coach, you want any opportunity, but I just don't think it was a good fit considering on the character of a Coach O and being at LSU. It just seems like he was made to be there.
Okay, it probably wasn't a good fit at the beginning, but look, if you win, nobody cares where you're
right.
from.
Exactly.
Nobody cares where you're from if you win. Ed Ogeron was certainly not the coach that he would become in his first job. But who is?
Right.
Who is the best employee that they will be in their first job?
Bill Belichick failed very in Cleveland.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. And also, I got to slow my roll, take it back, because I know there's no bayous in really Los Angeles, and he worked out pretty good at USC in the interim coach.
Yeah.
So, I think it's all about experience and growing as a coach. And and obviously getting the right people around you and know what you know and know what you don't know, and then you go from there. And obviously, I know he can always recruit. That's yeah. one thing. I know whether it was Miami, Syracuse, USC, wherever, Ole Miss, LSU, Tennessee, he can recruit. I know that, and I know that he knows that's his wheelhouse.
Absolutely. And look, he was kind of bullheaded, going to do things his way, and then he's learned from that. I guess he's mellowed probably just a little bit. But that, you know, bullheaded, that serves you well in his profession. But you got to be willing to learn, and I think that the Ole Miss experience helped him get there.
Parrish Alford covers Ole Miss for the Daily Journal. Parrish, thanks for the time, man. Good stuff.
Guys, y'all have a good evening.
All right,
that wraps
Parrish.
Up Behind Enemy Lines, brought to you by Acadian Windows, the official window company of the Who Dat Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.